Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
People chanting MVP.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
MVP for this guy.
All right, why not? Why not? I think we got a new slogan, maybe.
It's possible.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? It's possible. Anything possible.
Why not me? Why can't I be MVP? Those sounds like familiar words here in Chicago. That was Tim Anderson, White Sox shortstop. That audio from Sox Fest over the weekend. It was sold out. People were having a good time before, during, and certainly after as well. I know Friday night there was a big after party that unfortunately I could not attend, but I was there in spirit, and I sent Connor there as my replacement. I don't know. Let's get out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline now. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And we will bring in Josh Nelson, host of the Sox Machine podcast. Follow Josh on Twitter at Sox Machine _Josh. I love talking baseball with this man. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, Bebo. It's been a long time, man. How have you been?
Oh, it has been a while, hasn't it? I feel like we haven't talked ball in quite some time, and I think this is the perfect opportunity to do so, coming off the heels of Sox Fest and opening day just 2 months away now. It is approaching quickly. There is excitement, there is buzz, there are expectations, and it starts with the offseason and all of the moves, the aggressive moves made by Rick Hahn. I got into I don't want to say a little bit of trouble, but I got a little bit of stick earlier this week on the Mully and Haw show when we were grading the Sox offseason. I said it was a B. I said it was very good. I like B's. B's is a good grade. You want to get B's. But they could have done more. If you had to assign a grade to the offseason that Rick Hahn had, what would you give him?
I would give it like a B+, A-. And the reason why it's slightly higher is because they did sign Yasmani Grandal, and they did get Luis Robert on a contract extension. If they don't get the Luis Robert contract extension done, I'm with you. But the fact that we know that Robert is going to be part of the opening day roster, I think significantly gives them a better shot of contending in the American League Central in 2020 rather than playing the waiting game to manipulate his service time. What would have made the White Sox offseason better? I think if they did sign Zach Wheeler, then we're talking A- type of offseason. If they signed Gerrit Cole, that would have been like an A+ type of offseason. But, you know, for the White Sox, I think they did, you know, get the targets, mostly the targets that they aimed for this offseason. And Rick Hahn did mention yesterday during the last day of Sox Fest that Yasmani Grandal was the very top of their list. And having gotten a chance to speak with Grandal over the weekend and ask the pitchers about their anticipation working with him, I understand why he was number one on their offseason list. They needed a catcher who not only defensively will help steal strikes for their young pitchers and help those young pitchers prepare for every single outing, because that seemed to be a problem last year, is a lack of consistency, especially for Dylan Cease and Ronaldo Lopez. But they also needed a left-handed bat, and Grandal is one of the best hitting catchers in all of Major League Baseball, and he's a switch hitter, so that gives Rick Renteria some flexibility on where he wants to place Grandal in the lineup. And he walks. I mean, he was joking about that during the sessions yesterday, that while Eloy Jimenez and maybe even Omar Mazara and obviously Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, all those guys may hit more home runs than Grandal. But Grandal's main focus is getting on base for them, because if you get on base, you will score runs. And if you score more runs, you will get more wins. And I love that mentality that Grandal has, and that is much needed for a White Sox team that in the last 2 years have had the worst walk rate in all of Major League Baseball. And he's going to provide such a big boost for the 2020 White Sox, Kebbo.
Yeah, I think offensively, particularly with, you know, the home runs, the walks, he walked 109 times last season. So he's going to get on base. And I think that most people that are familiar with Grandal know that he can swing the bat. You mentioned switch hitter. And I think offensively, we kind of know what we're getting there. But you brought up the defense and his ability to steal strikes. His pitch framing is very well regarded around Major League Baseball. What are some sort of things, though, on that side of the ball defensively about Grandal, in addition to pitch framing, that maybe people are less familiar about, that you think could be a big addition to this team?
What I learned is that he has already been scouting the White Sox pitchers this weekend. He already has a game plan for Dylan Cease, in the sense that what he is noticing to try to get more consistency out of the Jan Hurler is pitch sequencing. That last year, and Cease even admitted to me when I chatted with him, and it's been something he's been working on this offseason, preparing for spring training, is that he was cutting his fastball too much. And according to Cease, his front shoulder flies open. He gets too rotational as he's making the pitch to the home plate. And because of that, it added some unnecessary movement to his fastball, in which the fastball would sail out of the strike zone, up and away. And Grandal thinks that part of that is pitch sequencing that could help Cease keep that front shoulder in so he's not too rotational. So while it's a great pitch and we should still see a lot of fastballs from Cease, he may incorporate more changeups, breaking pitches earlier in the count, just so he has more of a natural flow during the game. And I think the other thing, too, that he mentioned is, just, other than preparation, is that just getting these young players, especially the young pitchers, to buy in into their natural ability, that they are there because they have this great repertoire. They have great stuff, and they just have to believe in it. And looking as far as the pitch framing metrics, you know, as far as runs above strikes, I believe is the new StatCast metric. That's why Grandal ranked third in Major League Baseball, in which he was able to help his pitchers for the Milwaukee Brewers reduce 13 runs by framing strikes. The worst catcher in that category was James McCann.
Ah.
So the White Sox are going from the worst in Major League Baseball to third best with this signing. And I'm expecting a big boost as far as, especially to pitchers like Ronaldo Lopez and Dylan Cease, because if those two could pitch better, especially earlier in the season, and we will see Michael Kopech, obviously, at some point in 2020, I think it just gives the White Sox a much better shot on trying to catch Minnesota Twins in this division. Because if those two guys click, I think the White Sox have a stronger staff than Minnesota. Maybe it's not as strong as Cleveland's, but Cleveland's going to have a really tough time scoring runs this year. But it gives you that sense of, yeah, why not the White Sox in 2020 winning the American League Central?
Yeah, I'm with you on the Twins. Their rotation, you know, past Berrios, it doesn't really do much for me. I'm bearish on Odorizzi. You know, Rich Hill is old and hurt. Homer Bailey is just bad. I don't know. They're going to hit a ton of home runs, definitely, like they did last year. But their pitching staff definitely doesn't scare me. And you're right about Cleveland. They haven't been able to score consistently enough either. You brought Dylan Cease up a couple times there. So let's delve into what you expect from him, not only in terms of his performance, because we can all see the makings of a great pitcher somewhere in there. You know, he showed flashes of it at times last year, but a lot of inconsistencies. And I think he talked a little bit this weekend about changing up his mechanics a little bit and trying to repeat the same thing. You know, pitchers talk about repetition all the time. Not only what are your expectations for Cease, you know, as growing as a player, and also in terms of the caution that the organization might show with him. You know, is he going to be on an innings limit? Or are they going to be very careful with him? Really, just what do you project from Cease, not only production-wise, but also the way that he'll be handled organizationally?
I think it would be a great goal if he can get to 180 innings. Hmm. And the way that I look at that, Kevbo, is 30 starts, average 6 innings per start. The problem for Cease last year is that in his first 3 innings of his starts, he had an ERA north of 7. Innings 4 through 6, his ERA was in the mid-3s. That tells me he wasn't really prepared for the start of his games. Maybe jitters and the adrenaline was kicking up too much for him, and that's why he was walking so many batters or he's giving up a lot of home runs. Early in his starts, he would have a meltdown in the second inning, and then he was trying to recover. But the one thing about Cease is that he does such a great job with mid-game adjustments that he was able to recover and finish his start strong. So my expectation is that he's going to get that figured out. He's going to have better starts to his starts, if that makes sense. He's going to have smoother first inning, second inning, third inning, because then if he can make that mid-game adjustment, having to face a lineup a second time or even a third time through, then he can have an ERA in the mid-3s or even the low-4s. And if he's able to do that, and he's going to be the White Sox number 4, number 5 starter, you take that. Any team would love that type of production at the number 4 or number 5 spot in their starting rotation, especially if you're in a series like against Minnesota and Cleveland, where Cease may start the first game that series, and then behind him is Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. That gives you a lot more confidence as a team that you're going to be able to win those critical series within your division or any type of opponent if the White Sox are going to be a winning team in 2020 to compete for the postseason. So if he can get to 180 innings, that tells me that he's been healthy, he's been strong, but most importantly, he's been effective, and that Rick Renteria and pitching coach Don Cooper trust him enough to continue staying on the mound. If he isn't able to do that, his stuff is still electric. He could move to the bullpen and be a one-inning, two-inning type of reliever to help out in medium to high-leverage situations, and then he can just hyper-focus on getting through an inning or two rather than try to figure out how to navigate a six-inning start, and we could see on how that works. Because I'm very high on Michael Kopech. I think he's going to have a great year this year. But I still have a lot of confidence in Dylan Cease because the stuff is too good for him to not be a successful starter.
Yeah, I mean, 180 innings from Cease, that sounds pretty damn good to me. I'll definitely take that. Talking White Sox baseball with Josh Nelson right now. My name's Kevin Zipak. Josh is the host of the Sox Machine podcast. It's one of the better White Sox blogs out there. If you are not familiar, you can follow Josh on Twitter at SoxMachine_. Josh, you're making these transitions for me very easily as you keep bringing up the next person that I want to talk about. You're keeping it linear and you're making my job very easy. It's already easy enough, so I appreciate that. Michael Kopech is somebody who, you know, when he came over in the Chris Sale deal, obviously, you know, who you're traded for is going to have a lot of how people view you as a player and the expectations that would be levied upon you. You know, what's given up is an important part of how people view him. And the injury, the Tommy John surgery, all the stuff he's been talking about his mental health and some of the struggles he's been going through, he's such an easy guy to root for. And he is already, you know, he's only made, what, 3-4 starts. He's already one of my favorite players on this team, and I'm hoping to have a great season for him this year. It doesn't look like he's going to break camp with the team. They're going to bring him along slowly. They're going to be cautious. And I look at what San Diego did with Chris Paddock last year, similar profile as Kopech, a guy with Tommy John surgery, right-hander, throws hard. Do you think Kopech will be on a hard innings limit this year? You know, do you anticipate him being shut down potentially during a pennant race? And when do you think we're going to see him for the first time in the majors in 2020?
These are good questions. So that's a good comparison with Paddock out in San Diego. I would say anywhere from 150 to 160 innings this season for Michael Kopech would be good. I think when he's in Charlotte, because I agree with you, even though I think he's going to have a great spring training and he's going to make that a really difficult conversation.
And people will be angry no matter what.
Especially if Ronaldo Lopez and Dylan Cease don't look good.
Yeah.
Right? If Kopech looks better than Cease and Lopez in spring training, people are going to ask some tough questions on,
yes,
why are you sending Kopech to Charlotte again? But if he is in Charlotte, I think those are going to be like 5-inning starts where it's just a warm-up. Break off the rust, get back into the in-game experience. and let's see how April goes. And you never know. I mean, Gio Gonzalez had a dead shoulder for half the season last year. If he makes a couple starts in April, or any pitcher has to go on the injured list because of a hiccup, and they're going to be on the injured list for a couple of weeks, it could be as simple as something as little as a blister on their finger. Then, yeah, call up Kopech, and then he can start making those starts and maybe just keep him in the starting rotation if any other starter is struggling. And that's kind of one of the secret things the White Sox have this upcoming season. They finally have depth, Tevbo.
I know, it's weird, right?
The starting pitching. We don't have to talk about Ross Detweiler and Dylan Covey and how many starts they're going to make. I think for Kopech, though, other than the innings limit and when we could see him, I wouldn't be surprised if nobody gets hurt. We see him at sometime in May. I don't think he's going to be in Charlotte very long for the Chicago White Sox. But the one thing that came away that's very impressed is that mentally he just seems he's better prepared for the upcoming season. He's the first starting pitcher that I've ever heard say that Tommy John surgery has been a blessing. And I think that with the attitude change and the way that he's just looking and a new light on looking at his life, he got married. And as far as dealing with anxiety and depression, he had a great interview with you guys on 670 The Score earlier this week, mm-hmm. With Danny and Mac, that I'm expecting big things from Kopech. And I think that if the White Sox are in contention, he's going to be that second half surge for the White Sox, in which it's going to feel like they made a major acquisition at the trade deadline, where now they have this three war pitcher that started the year down in Charlotte. And White Sox fans can see the dream become reality, in which they have this future starting rotation led by two stud aces in Lucas Giolito and Michael Kopech. That's how high I'm still on Michael Kopech. I still believe with his stuff, now with the mental adjustment going into the game, that he has the ability to be an ace and be just as good as Lucas Giolito.
Couple more minutes here with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine Pod. Follow him on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh. I wish we could talk all day. I haven't even asked you really about the lineup or anything like that. I've been so focused on the pitching and I have bullpen questions, but let's go to the bullpen. Colome is back. He's the closer. C-Sheck was a pretty good addition. I think Bummer was fantastic last year. I like Jimmy Cordero's biceps quite a bit, but I think bullpen might be an issue where I don't want to say that they're short, but there are a couple question marks. I mean, Herrera's back. I don't know if he can be as bad as he was last year. Back to Colome, you know, his numbers maybe looked better than they actually were. Do you think the White Sox have a good bullpen? I'll just put it flatly like that. Do you think this is a good bullpen?
No. They may not even be an average bullpen.
Wow.
We'll see. And the thing about bullpens that I'm noticing around Major League Baseball, Kepo, they are fickle. They are good one year, and then the next year, they're not. It could be the same guys. It's just there's a bit of lack of
consistency. It's just weird. They're weird.
They are weird. It's just a lack of consistency throughout all of Major League Baseball, and especially the relievers that you use in the sixth and seventh innings of games. And sure, closers could be consistent, and you can trust them. That's why they make the big bucks. And you may find another high-leverage pitcher like Aaron Bummer, that you could trust to take care of the eighth inning, but then your other five or six bullpen arms, you just really don't know what you're going to get. I think what is critical for the White Sox is that bringing in Steve Cishek gives Rick Renteria another veteran he can depend on. So if Cishek, Bummer, and Colome can handle their own, the White Sox should be okay heading into June. But when June comes around, and if they are serious about winning in 2020, they could rebuild the bullpen on the fly. The Washington Nationals proved you can do that and still have a very successful season. So do I like the bullpen heading the year? No, I think it's the weakness on the 2020 White Sox. But when it comes to in-season trading, relievers get moved all the time. And if Rick Hahn doesn't like the bullpen, the good news is he could just rebuild on the fly. He could take some of his outfield prospects and get better sixth and seventh inning options for Rick Renteria and give them a better chance to win. But it will be critical that Steve Cishek, Aaron Bummer, and Alex Colome do not struggle. If they do struggle, I don't know exactly what the White Sox are going to do. Maybe they'll have to be a little bit more aggressive in finding another closer. And closers are pretty expensive when it comes to prospect cost. And I don't know the White Sox have the prospect cost right now outside of their top 100 prospects to be willing to give up for a top-end closer.
Yeah, speaking of that Nats bullpen, I wouldn't mind having seen Daniel Hudson come to Chicago. You know, he just re-signed with the Nats a few weeks ago. That would have been a nice addition there. All right, Josh, I'll let you get about your Sunday. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. Really appreciate it. And we'll have to talk again soon because there are like a million other things I want to talk to you about regarding Luis Robert and Tim Anderson and the offense in general. So we'll talk again very soon. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Kebbo. Have a great Sunday.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That is Josh Nelson. You can find him on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh. And if you've never, like I said earlier, if you've never checked out Sox Machine, it's probably the best Sox blog out there right now. If you're a Sox fan, you have to check it out. Check out their podcast. Check out all the good work that they do there. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. My name is Kevin Zipak. I am here until 9 o'clock this morning, going really heavy on the White Sox talk off the heels of a very, what looked to be a successful Sox Fest this past weekend. A lot of buzz, a lot of hype. The season starts in just 2 months. And what I want to know is, where are your realistic expectations for this 2020 team? Do you think that they are the favorite in the American League Central? Do you just think that being over 500 is a good stepping stone for where they are this year and where they're going to continue to be in the coming years and growing gradually, steady incremental progress? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send in a text. Where are your expectations with the 2020 White Sox? I am Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9. This is 670 The Score.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back in to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning. I just made it back into the studio here, trying to refill my water bottle before we started the show again. Sean Anderson, my producer. We have the slowest water fountain or water cooler, whatever you want to call it here. The world's slowest water fountain cooler apparatus. So it was a little bit of a tight squeeze getting back in here, but I'm here, and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to everybody.
Worst things worse was that REM just played for 3 minutes.
I guess, you know, worst things could happen. You're right. You know, it's never a bad time for a little Michael Stipe on a Sunday morning. The phone number is 312-644-6767. 67011 is how you check on in here via the text line. Been talking all White Sox this morning, which is what I kind of want to always do whenever I get in here to host one of these shows on a Sunday morning. All I ever want to do is talk about the White Sox. But I think now it's actually merited. And they have earned the right to be looked at as a promising team, a team that will likely be in contention in their division. I'm not calling them favorites. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I'm not even going to say they're going to make the playoffs, frankly. I'm not going to say that for sure, but they are certainly in the conversation. They've got a ton of young talent. They were aggressive in the offseason. There is a buzz. There is a hype around this team. I want to gauge the interest from White Sox fans or any baseball fans that may be out listening right now on your Sunday morning. What are your realistic expectations for this team in 2020? At the top of the hour, we talked to Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, who is fantastic. Love Josh. Follow him on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh. And we mostly talked about the pitching staff. I could have talked to Josh all day long about the Sox, and there's so many different kind of rocks to overturn and things to delve into. We talked about Michael Kopech. We talked about Dylan Cease, Yasmani Grandal, some of the players, you know, with arrows pointing up and guys that in Cease's case, a guy who showed so many flashes last year but wasn't able to be consistent enough, and about Kopech coming back from the injury, how Grandal defensively is going to help these young pitchers out. But one thing he said about the bullpen, which kind of struck me, I asked him straight up, Josh, is this a good bullpen? He said, no. Colum A wasn't as good as his numbers last year. He's your closer. He's good, but I think that it's fair to have questions about him. C-Sheck has been around a while, a lot of miles on that arm. Joe Maddon ran him into the ground on the north side over the past couple of years. Bummer was excellent last year. I think he's somebody you can rely on again, but going back to what Josh said, you never know with bullpens. They're weird. They're fickle. It could be the same guys, the same exact set of arms in your bullpen one year, and you could bring back the exact same crew, and they could completely be all over the place. And they could be bad and after being good, or they could become good again. Bullpens are the weirdest thing in baseball. I just hope that the White Sox offense is going to be able to score enough. I think that's not going to be a problem. I think they're going to hit a ton. But you do need to keep these guys healthy in the starting rotation in regards to Cease and Kopech, Rodon when he gets back, Gio Gonzalez to back up Giolito and Keuchel at the top of the rotation. 312-644-6767. Let's get out to these phone lines here. A couple people standing by. Let's start with Larry. He is in Mundelein this morning. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. Good morning. I am a pretty strong Cubs fan, and I'm reluctantly calling in to speak just from my perspective that I see the arrow pointing much higher this year for the Sox than the Cubs. Maybe that's quite obvious. But I also see them contending for first place with Minnesota and coming in with, you're throwing numbers out this morning, but 86 to 88 wins. And I don't see the Cubs coming up with 85 like they had last year. So it's hard for me to say this, but I'm speaking from my head, not from my heart. And thought maybe some people like to hear that.
Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you very much for checking in from Mundelein. See, that's a different perspective there. And we always enjoy having that. Not only do I want to hear from Sox fans who, you know, are excited about the team and for good reason, but Cub fans as well. Like we just heard from Larry there, he can be a little bit more objective about it, I guess, and have a less clouded view looking at it from the eyes of an opposing fan. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Let's go down south to Hyde Park. Talk to Alex. Good morning, Alex. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. I kind of echo what the last caller said. I actually think the White Sox are going to approach, if not get to the 90 win total for a couple of reasons. One, much greater ability to beat up on the weaker teams as opposed to us being one of those teams. Absolutely, with Kansas City and Detroit right there in the division. I also believe that by the time we get to the trade deadline, Cleveland, like the Cubs, will be in a rebuild. And I think Minnesota is going to take a step back. Last year, a lot of things went right for Minnesota. That pitching rotation took a definite big step backwards. And I think I told your screener, look, Major League Baseball bought Rawlings a few years back, who manufactures the baseball. They absolutely were monkeying around with that thing last year until the end of the year. And I do think the ball will be a little bit closer to where it really is supposed to be. So I think they're going to take a step back on those home runs. I'm not feeling like we're going to make any type of a long playoff run because we're not ready for that just yet in terms of being completely ready. But I definitely think we're ready to take a step forward there. And the other guy who I'm hopeful on, everybody's way down on Mazzara. My optimism there is I think the White Sox, Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, I think they really, really like the guy because giving up Steele Walker, behind Louis Robert, I mean, he was arguably him and Basabe, our next highest rated outfielder. It wasn't just a throwaway that they gave up for him. They gave up a real prospect for him. And I think management is very, very, I think they're optimistic that Mazzara is going to be pretty good. I think the arrow is going to continue to point forward into the future. And I think the other thing the White Sox have done very well is to stockpile prospects. And just like last year, let's let things play out a little bit. Let's find out, run into some injuries, you know, maybe some guys we weren't expecting to take a step backwards, take a step backwards, and then we'll be able to fill in those needs as they come along. And lastly, the other thing that drives me nuts is when I keep hearing the Manny Machado stuff, only because I think part of the reason why Yoan Moncada's big jump came from being able to move over to third base. Steve Stone was on the air last week or earlier this week, and he basically noted that third base was a reactionary position and that that's the type of defensive player that Moncada is. He just had too many things to think about at second base, and I definitely think the move to third helped him offensively tremendously. The size of Machado's contract was pretty much about what we spent this offseason that we're so excited about, and I think moving forward, Moncada may well be the better player. I mean, Moncada's a serious talent.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. A lot of stuff there to unwrap. Appreciate it, Alex. Going forward, you know, Yoan Moncada, you know, is a lot younger than Manny Machado, and you know, he's a switch hitter, and certainly is a guy I love very much, Yoan Moncada. But Manny Machado is, you know, on a different level, I think. And Moncada was the better player last year. I don't think that's unreasonable to say, and he might be going forward, you know, able to maintain that and be the better player. But what Machado has done already, you know, not only with that short stint with the Dodgers, but all those years in Baltimore, I know the Orioles are not a team that people got to watch very often, and really they didn't have a lot of reasons to sometimes, but I think people sleep on how good Manny Machado was and still is. I think this year you're going to see Machado's numbers really resemble what they looked like when he was in Baltimore. I think adjusting to a new league, a new ballpark, you know, adjusting his life from living on the East Coast to the West Coast in Southern California, I think it was a transitional year for Machado. I'm not willing to write him off by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think that had the White Sox signed Machado, which they should have, I still think they should have, I still think they would have done everything that they've done this offseason. I think, you know, what's another $30 million on the payroll between friends? Jerry Reinsdorf is going to be able to foot that bill, no question. 312-644-6767. Keeping it rolling here with your calls. Let's talk to Ron in Hawthorne Heights. Good morning, Ronald. What's up?
How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Three things. I think the Sox are going to have 86 wins. They're going to finish in third place, just outside of second. And I believe this year the Sox are going to have a good team that they're going to put on the field. However, I think they're going to be a team. They're going to be as good as their second tier team that's going to be. And what I mean by that is that if they get hit with some key injuries with a guy like Tim Anderson or a Mancata, their second tier players, their backup players are going to be the difference makers. All these teams that are winning in the playoffs, their backup players are excellent players. And I think the Sox have a good foundation, but I think that their second line players, they need to start building that part of the team. And I think then they'll be the contender for first place.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Ron. Checking in from Hawthorne Woods. It's a good point you make about health. I mean, every team needs to stay healthy, but depth wise, it might negatively affect the White Sox more than a couple of other teams that do have, you know, more depth on the roster, and not only in the minors as well, but just in terms of players you'd be able to slot in. If the White Sox lost Yoan Moncada for an extended period of time, you know, who's getting those reps at third base? They don't have anybody that's going to be able to even come close to that sort of production that Moncada put up last year, and like we all think and hope that he will do once again. John and Joliet talking White Sox this morning here with Kevin Zipak on the Score. Good morning, John. What's up, man?
Good morning, Kevin. You know, I'm excited about this upcoming season, but for me, it's going to take a lot of chemistry, a lot of guys getting to know each other's positions. And yes, I believe they're going to have a decent season, but there's going to be so much involved with all these guys learning each other's, you know, positions and just team development in itself. But I can see them winning at least 87 games.
87 that would be fantastic. Thank you very much for checking in, John. In terms of chemistry and the players knowing each other, learning each other, tendencies and kind of the unquantifiable aspects of it, I think that it's a group of guys who, you know, obviously there are new players, there are additions with you know, Mazzara and Grandal and Carnacion that are going to be getting major playing time. But you look at the quote-unquote core, there are a lot of guys that have been together for a while that know each other. Jose Abreu's been here forever, it seems like. Eloy has a season under his belt. Moncada's been here for a couple years now. He feels like he's starting to, you know, even though he's only 24 years old, my God, he's like kind of a young veteran. Tim Anderson is a young veteran. These guys have played together for a while. They've had success at this level. So I don't think that chemistry is going to be that big of an issue. I certainly hope not. You look at all these guys interact with one another. They seem like they all enjoy each other's company. They were all palling around, having fun this weekend at Sox Fest. If you were there, you saw it firsthand. If not, you saw the videos that were posted on Twitter and whatnot. I think the group itself is the core, whatever you want to call it. I think that's a pretty solid foundation that they have, not only in terms of the talent and what they're going to do on the field, but I think off the field as well. I think they get along really well. I think it's a good group of guys, and especially, you know, you look at Tim Anderson and Michael Kopech, guys who are really involved with charitable organizations and in the community and want to, you know, keep their noses clean and do right for kids in and around Chicago. I think you want to have guys like that on your team. We need more Tim Andersons and Michael Kopechs, not only in baseball, not only in sports, but in the world in general. These are legitimate good dudes, and it's great to have that on your team as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Got me for about another 15 minutes here on the Score. I am Kevin Zipak, and I believe I will be relieved after this by Mark Grody and Big Ant Heron. So that should be entertaining as well. Stick around for that. But you got me until 9. What are your expectations for the White Sox this year? We've pretty much had a baseline of people thinking mid to high 80s. You know, people are a little bit optimistic. I've said 83, 84, 85, so maybe I'm tempering it a little bit more, but I want to know what you think about the Sox this year. Are they contenders in the American League Central? 312-644-6767, 670-1-1 is how you check in. I'm Kevin Zipak here until 9 on 670 The Score.
Bro.
Oh, my God. Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name's Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock. This couldn't have already been in the system. Did you just roll this in during the break?
Yeah, I saw you text him with 815, so I had to roll in the riddle theme.
That is my producer, Sean Anderson. He apparently saw me conversing with somebody on the text screen here about tonight's Royal Rumble, and I said that the winner should be Matt Riddle. Not do I think he's going to win, but he should be. He is fantastic. He is a beautiful man with a ton of charisma, just a weirdo. He wrestles barefoot. He should be the guy. I don't think he will be, but that's my pick, is who it should be. So thank you very much, Sean, for picking up on that. The phone number is 312-644-6767. I've just got a couple minutes left here before Anthony Heron and Mark Grody will enter the studio. Been mostly talking about White Sox. Actually, pretty much been 100% White Sox this morning on the show, which is my kind of program. That's what I would love to do every morning here, is just talk White Sox for 2 hours. Talk to Josh Nelson of Sox Machine at 8 o'clock, mostly about the pitching staff. Didn't really have time to get into some of the other things in terms of the offense with Josh, but I think the offense will probably be fine. I do have a few reservations, maybe we'll say, about some of the starting pitching, the the health of a few of those guys in the bullpen we talked about as well. Real quick, got to mention this before I get out of here. I just have about a minute left. But in case you saw the Chicago Bears Twitter account tweet something out a few minutes ago, I believe that they were hacked. I do not believe the Bears were actually sold to some Saudi businessman or a royal or whoever the hell this guy is. But there was a tweet from the Chicago Bears account about 5 minutes ago, actually about 10 minutes ago now. And it says, welcome to our new owner at Turkey_Allah Sheikh with a picture of what appears to be a Saudi Arabian man. This is not a real thing. The Bears Twitter account was apparently hacked. They did not sell the team. The McCaskies still own the Bears. In case anybody saw that, a couple people chimed in and texted in about it. I believe it is just a case of the Bears having to change their password now. You have to change it from Hallis85 or whatever it was before because you just got hacked. This segment was brought to you by Kenosha Subaru. Peoria Matt checks in 309 texter here. Thanks for not talking Bulls. I can always assure you that I will not be talking Bulls. That music means that my time is up for the morning. Appreciate everybody who called, texted, tweeted, and of course listened. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you were here with me, and I appreciate that. Thank you to Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, who I talked to at 8 o'clock. Thank you to my producer, Sean Anderson. And thank you to the White Sox for putting on a great Sox Fest this weekend, getting everybody hyped up for the year. Just 2 months from today, the White Sox will be playing regular season baseball. They're going to matter very early. So get your coat and your gloves and your scarf and your hat and put it on now and wear it for 2 months straight and get all weird and head to the ballpark. Thanks once again to everybody. Anthony Heron and Mark Grody coming up next. My name's Kevin Zipak. I'll talk to you again next weekend, I believe, here on 670 The Score.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not much on speeches, but it's so gratifying to leave you wallowing in the mess you've made. You're screwed. Thank you. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.